we can go everywhere, and we're so multidimensional beings that we tend to, even though you want to label it ADHD or whatever you want to label it, we're trying to be multidimensional everywhere at once, and we are in this earth plane to basically be focused on one single moment in time so that we can perfect it and we can experience it and we can learn from it and we can end up evolving from that.
You're listening to the Anxious and Ambitious podcast. I invite you to take a moment out of your busy day to just slow down and take a deep breath. I know that you are ambitious, making big moves, going places, and chasing after your dreams. But the more you can get into this present moment, the more you can tap into your true power. This podcast will help you to harness your anxiety and use it to manifest everything you're dreaming of and more. Today, I have a special guest for you all, and she's actually a repeat guest, been on the podcast before. Joanna Crowder. I'm not going to go through her whole introduction. If you want to learn more about Joanna, we're going to be diving into that juiciness in this episode. But if you haven't heard the last time she was on, she shared so much gold in that conversation. So I'd encourage you to queue that up after this episode. But let's just dive right in, Joanna. So I'm so grateful, like I said, to have you back on the podcast. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I feel like we just get to go really deep in the conversation, which I love. And since we spoke last, I know you've been doing a lot of big things. You published another book. You're in the process of writing another. You started a new business, ran an in-person retreat. So many big things going on. So to start, I'd love if you could just catch us up a little bit. What's been going on recently, and what have you maybe expected or didn't expect to happen over the past year? I think it's been.
Has it been a year? Hi, everyone. Oh my God. When you started saying all those things, I'm like reflecting, going, damn, I did all that. It just sounds like so much. Oh, where do I begin? I guess in the last year or so, because what month are we in? February. Oh yeah, that was looking kind of different for me last February. I had not released my third book yet. There were so many things going on. And then at that time, I had my separate business, Quantum Entanglement, and, you know, the academy running and things like that. But what switched tremendously was that in July, we all kind of got together, those that we had been working with for the past 2 years online, and we felt that energy. We felt that connection. We felt that high vibrational, you know, we're usually in a room and we're mostly the high vibrational people. But when you're in a room where they're all high vibrational, and it's just a different feeling. It's like, what is this? This is new to me. So we all kind of felt that. And we were at that time kind of doing something else or trying another business that wasn't in alignment with what we were looking for. So we all decided, okay, you know what, whatever this feeling is, we have to do something with this. And within 3 days, we pretty much got into a meeting with all of us. It's now there's 8 of us, I believe. And we all just decided, okay, we're going to do retreats. This is what we're going to do. And in 3 days, we had our website up. We had our logo. We had all the things. Like, we had been prepping for this day. It was like divinely guided and birthed out of this love for each other. And it was so magical that we were like, okay, whatever this energy is, we are bringing it to each retreat, and everyone's going to feel how magical this is, because we're not the only ones. I'm getting chills right now just thinking about it. And yes, everybody felt that magic in our first retreat that we turned around and launched in November. It was November 11th, 11/11, and it was super amazing. So yeah, I launched my Mindfall book, which was the third one out of the series, and did this retreat. So looking back at updating, you know, my life, where that's been for the last year, man, I feel like I've been racing, but it feels good now. Like, I feel more in alignment. I feel like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And at the same time, you know, just struggling with my own writing for this last book. So yeah, in a nutshell, the summary version.
Yeah, in a nutshell, for sure. You've had, like I said, so much going on. And this retreat, I was watching behind the scenes. I wasn't able to make the dates work, unfortunately, but you could just feel the energy through the stories and the posts that you were sharing. So, wow, just I'm so happy that you were able to put all this together so quickly, too, and help people to have such a transformational experience, it sounds like.
Yes, they were transformed, really. I mean, people that we didn't know that came, and people that we did know that are members of the academy that came, and even though they had been with us for a very long time in the academy, just experiencing the magic that comes with all the workshops we did, and like helping them empowerment and showing them the power they have within themselves, et cetera, and them feeling it and seeing that, it's magic and it's transformational. And you leave out of there like, whoa, I gotta come to this again, you know? So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, that's so exciting. It's like you've created this transformational little bubble where people can go in and almost go through like a rebirth, it sounds like.
Yes.
And I can imagine for you too, because I know as a participant, it would be impactful, but I'm sure just even being in that atmosphere and participating yourself, I'm curious how it impacted you.
Absolutely. It impacted each and every one of us. I can say that without a doubt, because we've talked about it so many times. We had what we called the post-retreat high, where we were like, oh my God, I'm missing Laura's chocolates, because Laura would make our snacks and she had this amazing vegan recipe for these chocolates. And we were just in love in heaven, because every day we just, you know, and then we come home and we're like, where's the chef? Where's Laura? Where's, you know, just waiting and feeling what we felt then, and trying to bring that back to our own home life, because it's something you don't normally do. You don't wake up and do meditation and work out and, you know, juice and do all these magical things and hike and, you know, and then all of a sudden come home and expect your environment to be the same. You have to start slowly changing it. And that's what happened with Keith and I. We came back from that and actually started looking at the time that we spend in 24 hours. And he was like, okay, if I was to write down and make a list of everything, like an inventory of what I do, how long it takes, I could see that I'm wasting a little bit of time here and there, and we can devote that time towards meditation, towards stretching, towards things that are going to be towards our better, you know, towards our wellness together. And that's been baby steps, but it's been something that we've carried over since the retreat. All of us had a different experience. Like some of us were like, okay, I had to go 3 flights of stairs all the time, many times, because I was the one doing tours. And therefore that taught me, okay, you have a lot of work to do. You have to work out. And I know this, and this is a constant thing. And for me, it's more about like, I love dancing. And once I get dancing, then I get moving. And once I get moving, I'm all about working out. So it's like, I have to trick my mind to slowly do that. But it helped me realize, okay, I'm definitely not where I want to be. Some other people, it was their diet, what they were eating, just the simple mindfulness, the awareness, the deep conversations and things like that. So everyone, it felt something different. And I think we all just changed as hosts. So I know that our guests changed.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I love that term post-retreat hangover, because I think this is something all of us have experienced. Maybe you've been to like an event, or even just sometimes those online events, you get so ramped up, but then after the event's over, it's like, okay, now how do I integrate this into my life?
Yes. And see, this is the best part, because I don't know how many retreats are out there are doing this, but since we have an academy, since we have Akasha Flicks, a whole library of content and information that is all about leveling up and just all this mindful mind, body, spirit stuff, we have that incorporated with our retreats. And so this upcoming retreat that we have in May is going to also, for those that are interested in the continued education piece, have them kind of help them implement all of the things that they learn throughout the whole next year. Because all this stuff is not just, I saw you, let's go and we're done. Like, it's not hit it or quit it type. It's, I'm going to hold your hand throughout the entire process, because this process, this journey, this adventure is hard. And sometimes you're going to need a helping hand or some accountability. So we're basically giving them these journals that are going to help them through their one-year mentorship program after they come back. And so we would be meeting up every month. They have things to do. They're like, take a bath. Things that have stuff to do with the energies of the seasons. So astrologically, it's going to go over all, you know, the earth signs. It's going to go over the water signs, the air signs, so that they can really implement and embody these energies and understand them at a deeper level and see how simple they are and how we use them in our everyday life.
Wow, that is so powerful. You're right. I haven't heard of any retreats who are doing anything like that. But I think that that is so key, because what's the point in, you know, going and doing 3 days of meditation workouts and not taking any of that back with you? So I love that you're mentoring people even after this transformational experience.
Yes.
Yeah. So I also know that this next retreat, you, when we were talking about it previously, you mentioned that it has a little bit of a different theme, some new plans for this retreat. So I'm curious, like, what are you most excited about for this next round?
This coming up one, it's really, I'm very excited because we have the one coming up. We just locked down the location for the one in November. And then we already have a waiting list for the one coming up next year. So all this happened within the last week. And so when you say, what are you most excited about? I'm like, everything. But to narrow it down for this upcoming one, our theme is going to be around water and fire, because we really flow with the energies of the cosmos. We really flow with whatever the moon is in, and the moon is going to be in Pisces the first couple of days, and then it's going to be in Aries. And so we're going to have this big shift of water to fire. And right there in between that shift, there's a transformation, there's a renewal. And so we are going to really embody stuff that has to do with releasing emotions, really tapping into emotions, all the themes of water. We're going to have the lake. So we're going to probably do some plunges, things like that, that have to do with water. Our food has to do with our flavors, more water flavor versus fire the next day. So everything is just very themed around that. And my workshop is going to be really teaching specifically about the energy and how the energy above has so much to do with the energy within us and how we can use that to our advantage by basically understanding the weather. Like I call it the weather, but it's an astrological weather. And it's just like saying, hey, I know that it's going to be cold outside. I'm going to grab a jacket. It's as simple as that versus I'm going to wear a tank top and go outside. So it's really just understanding the energy so that you can flow with it, so that you understand how powerful you really are, because you start seeing it kind of manifest a lot easier when you're riding the wave versus when you're clashing.
Yeah. And I mean, this theme of astrology is something that you weave in through all of your work as well as your books, which I love. So I want to dive into that more. But first, just to close the loop here on the retreat, when is this next retreat happening and where can our listeners learn more if they're interested?
Okay, so this next retreat that we have coming up in May, it's about 80 something days away, maybe. We have a countdown, escapewithin.love. You will see our next retreat, which is in May in Arley, Alabama. You will also see the one in South Carolina. It's a beachside retreat, and that one is November. We just solidified the dates, November 7th through the 11th, I believe, that weekend. And then we have a couples retreat for February of 2025. And that one is a waiting list. So all of that will be on escapewithin.love.
Okay, amazing. I'm definitely going to have to check that out myself. I know this May one, I'm traveling at the time, but it sounds like the November one's right over my birthday weekend. So maybe that'll be perfect time.
Yes.
Yeah. So to our listeners, you know, if you're interested, I encourage you to go check it out. Trust me, even just the vibes through the Instagram were like next level. So I can only imagine how it would be to experience that in person. Now, last time you were here, Joanna, we dove a lot into your first two books, Spring Manifestation and Summer Love. And since then, you've published a third book and you're in progress of writing and finishing the fourth in the series, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I'd love if you could share a little bit more about the inspiration behind the concept of Mindfall, which is the most recent book that you published.
Okay. So for those that don't know the whole series, the series is called Our Life in Seasons. And I break down the seasons because they're just like cycles, and we have to understand our cycles, not just outside, but inside as well. And so spring manifestation is really about starting something new, really following that and seeing where it takes you, what you end up manifesting. And I incorporate astrologically what's going on. They're all based on my life experiences. And it's the best way I feel like I can teach is through my own experience. But I incorporate and put in a lot of information that I've come along, you know, my studies throughout the years, and try to sneak that in there. I drop some seeds. And so spring manifestation has a lot of controversy as well, because this was all during 2020 and we were kind of quarantined. And so you'll start seeing my reactions, my initial reactions to all of this. They were all in there, like the second half of the book. But then Summer Love is more about your love life, your adventure, the time of life where you have fun. And so I did it all about my relationship, specifically my husband and I's relationship throughout the last 26 years, but still astrologically based. So you can see that each chapter is based on that. And then, so that's summer. So spring, summer, fall. We have Mindfall, which is the last one that I published. So this one is more mental. Fall is launched by an air sign. Air is mental. So I start really going deep into my mind and the people that I have come across in my life that have kind of shaped me and helped me become who I am. And so I speak on their qualities, characteristics, and how to incorporate that with just where I am now. And I do it in, again, very astrologically. You can see that throughout the book. So there's a lot of twists and turns in Mindfall. And it's one of those books where you can't really explain what it is. You've read it, right? You can't really talk about it without ruining it. It's one of those things like, okay, when you read it, let's talk about it. But I loved writing it because I really had to go deep and figure out who I was. It's really like, who am I? And at the end, like, this is what I am. Da, 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 da. But it took an entire year to really figure that out, because obviously as I'm writing this book, I'm having to go deep myself and peel those layers. And so I feel like all my books have helped me do that. It's therapeutic for me, but I know it's also helping others as well.
Wow, that's amazing. No, I love that you weave in your own personal experiences. And I have read all three of the books, and the Mindfall, I totally agree. It is a little tough to talk about it without spoiling it all, but how it all comes together at the end is just amazing. Genius, seriously. And one of the things that I love in your book is how you encourage readers to have a bit of a different understanding of losing your mind, quote unquote. And I think this is something that many of us can resonate with, feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm going crazy. I'm literally losing it. But you sort of reframe that, which is so powerful. And similarly with this idea of healing, of course, healing is a process, but a lot of us feel like we have so much of this work to do. And that's the topic of your next book, right? Winter Healing?
Yes, yes. It's called Healing Winter.
Oh, Healing Winter.
And so, yeah, so it's funny because I flipped it just for those that care. Spring manifestation. So I have spring first, because these are positive aspects of a sine wave. I'm going deeper now, but this is where everything is positive, right? Everything blooms, everything begins to grow. It's the beginning really of the cycles of the year. Summer, everything is, you know, the sun is out, you're hot. So all of that is positive. So that's why the names go first, spring and summer. And then as you flip it and go down to the negative aspects of fall and winter, when it's cold, when it's all lacking in sunshine, that's when the names go at the end, the season goes at the end. So it's mind fall and then healing winter. So yeah, there's always a reason why I do everything the way that I do it. And I just thought I'd share. But Healing Winter has been an eye-opening book for me to write, because I decided to pour out, like I do, but even more so, all the things that are, I consider, I guess, my negatives, my downfalls, what people would basically judge themselves for. And I'm basically putting it all out there, all the things that I need to heal from, the small addictions, the big ones. I'm like, we all have something that we go to cope or to suppress. And I really start pointing all of them out in myself. And so it's been difficult because who wants to share all that with the world? Number one. Number two, I've had to then face it and deal with the healing aspect of it, which is very difficult. I'm like, oh, no wonder people don't want to heal. This is difficult. And not saying that I haven't healed before of different things, but when you're writing and you're reflecting on what you're writing, it becomes a lot deeper and you really start going deeper into your healing. So I've had to take breaks a lot just to be able to process. And I think with anyone that's writing a book, a lot of it is usually done before you start moving your fingers. It's all in your head. And then all of a sudden, it's like a dam opens up and everything flows out and you're just typing away because it's all kind of coming together. And so I feel like I'm in that state right now where I'm processing and then my fingers will start going like crazy. But right now, a lot of things have been coming up, like trauma. I just did a webinar on trauma and I'm like, okay, no wonder I'm doing a webinar on trauma right now as I'm dealing with traumatic things and healing. So just like my books, things kind of come up that have to do with what I'm writing about. So I think it's going to be great for those that are maybe scared of healing and wanting to start taking some baby steps towards it. I know my friend read the first chapter and got inspired to start doing something herself. And that inspired me. Okay, I have to keep writing because if it helped her with just chapter one, then I need to continue. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I can only imagine how difficult it must be to write a book, period. I am not yet an author, but never mind these deep, really intuitive and also philosophical books that you're writing. So I admire that you blend that astrological, philosophical viewpoint while also let's make this real and grounded in your own personal experiences. Because that rawness, it just hits home so close. I know when I was reading, especially your Summer Love book, it really mirrored a lot of things that I've experienced in my life. So I just want to applaud you for that and being vulnerable to share, because I think it's making a huge impact.
Thank you so much. Yeah, vulnerable is the word, the big V. That's mm-hmm. I've been learning that, whether I like it or not. Yes, for
sure. Yeah, but you also do weave in, like I said, like the philosophy side of things, the astrology. And astrology, I think, is something that I want to learn more about. I'll follow the moon cycles and things like that, but not nearly to the extent that you do. So I'm curious, how do you work with astrology in your day-to-day life?
So for sure, I look at the moon. That's one thing, because that the moon is the closest to reflecting our emotions. Our moon represents our emotions. Our sun is more of our personality. So the moon is more of how we're thinking and how we're feeling. And that is changing every 2.5 days. It's going from, you know, we just are about to go into what, Aquarius? Wait, where are we? See, I just said that I know where we are. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, where are we? Because I was thinking that Venus is entering into Aquarius, but we're literally in Taurus right now. So the moon is in Taurus. And if you understand the qualities and the aspects of Taurus, which are very loving and grounded and nature and food and tangible things, if I understand that, then I'm able to, again, flow with the waves and ride the waves versus clash with it. So one good example, is Virgo. So Virgo is all about the analytical side, the dotting the I's, crossing the T's. Let me make sure that everything is clean and tidy and organized. I use that time to make sure my house is clean, because why not? I'm going to be feeling that way anyway. And if I ask around my friends, most of the time they're doing some type of cleaning too, or some type of organizing. So it's like, we don't really notice that we're doing it during that time, but we're influenced by these signs. So we could either ride the wave or not. And so I look at each one and go, okay, so now is this, now is that. Now, why is that important? Number one, and this is a topic that most don't talk about, but the whole ascension process and the enlightenment and the whole Kundalini raising and all of that, has a lot to do with when the moon is in your sun sign, because that is when you have a natural birth, we'll just say, a birth that is within you, where you have 2.5, 3 days to have it rise and to basically hit your pineal and have this enlightenment. And so that's why, number one, it's super important, because if you understand the whole concept of that, how it works, you would pay attention to when, like, where is the moon right now? Because those are your three sacred days where you want to be meditating. You want to be in a state of kindness, of love, of not overeating, not having sex, not drinking, all those things. I mean, you want it to be as sacred as possible for those 3 days to help you with that whole enlightening process. But again, that's a subject most people don't understand. So everything in baby steps. But the moon is very important because it's the cycles, right? It's our moonstration, our menstruation cycles. They're based on the moon. I know that I guess I'm in a new moon cycle right now. Every time there's a new moon, boom, I get my period. It used to be when it was in a full moon, but every female has that cycle that corresponds with the moon. So that number one is important because it changes so much. And so we have to understand these changes that are within us. Then understanding the planets and like the constellations and how, you know, they're all based on fractals. So we can look at this in a season, like I like to call it, like we're in Aquarius season. Or we can look at when the moon is passing Aquarius. So that's a little bit more fractalized into 2 days, or we could look at that in a 24-hour time and go, okay, when is Aquarius? That's between 2 and 4 a.m. So that's when, you know, we are in this state of knowing. We're in a deep delta state by then. We are just receiving this, the man with the pitcher of water. You're receiving this enlightenment, this information, this wisdom that's coming through at that time. You know, 4 and 6 is Pisces. So that's more of a dreamy state, Neptunian type feel. So everything has this corresponding energy that we can use to our advantage.
It's so interesting. And I like that you refer to them as seasons and almost like this idea of what's the astrological forecast and how can I, as you said earlier in the conversation, like put on a tank top to best prepare for this or put on a sweater if I'm going to be cold. It's similar, but with these energies that we're all moving through, even though we're often a lot less aware of it because it's not in our 3D world in the same way, right? You're not going to go outside and be like, oh, I forgot my coat. I'm freezing.
Right. Right. It's different. And I hear a lot of controversy with it and, oh, it's not science-based and it's not this and it's not that. And you also hear religion saying, you know, that's, you shouldn't do that. But I'm a metaphysical doctor when it comes to decoding the Bible, because I'm a metaphysical minister as well. And in decoding the Bible and realizing how much astrology is really in it, it just shows me how much people are unaware of that subject and, you know, for reasons. So that I love. I love that it's all in there. It's all in there, but it's also within our body as well. Scientifically, it's just from head to toe, from Aries to Pisces, it is all within us. And that's the part that I don't know. I wish more people understood, you know, but the time's coming. And everybody's finding out, and things like this that you're doing help people understand and see that there's a connection if they were just to open their minds. You know, astrology is really just the astros, the light and luminaries, light, and then the study of, I'm just studying light and where the sun is, where the moon is, where these lights and stars and luminaries are and the angles of them. So, you know, it's funny because what are angles? Angles are angels, right? Angles of light. So those are angels. Angle is also coming and stemming from Ankh. And Ankh is more of like an anchor. It keeps you down. It constricts you. The etymology of that is Ankh. And that's the same root word of anxious. And I thought that that was interesting because anxious, when you're in a state of anxiety, you are restricted. You are feeling like trapped. You feel like you don't know what to do, right? Where to go, and da da da. And usually that's our GPS, and it's trying to redirect us to focus on something, to break free of something. And I see that as, when you go back to the word an angle, we are seeing a situation based on a certain angle, on a certain perspective. So it's only shifting that angle, shifting our perspective, that we're able to break free from that constriction. And so breaking free would be, okay, I see this from a different perspective. Instead of being anxious because I'm about to go on a podcast, why don't I get really excited about going on this podcast? And I'm going to put some music, and I'm going to start dancing, and I might start cleaning. I might start redirecting my energy that was holding me down to now breaking free, to doing something free that I really enjoy doing. And so I thought that that was a really cool connection. I'm all about seeing the patterns, but anxiety holds you down, but it also shows you how to break free.
Wow. That is so interesting. I have never heard that relationship there between anxiety and astrology. And so just to like anchor this in a little bit, because I feel like my brain is swirling in all these different directions of how can we use this in a positive way? How, I guess, do you then work with this astrological knowledge to choose, I'm going to get out of anxiety and see it from a different angle?
So you know how every person has a different point of view, and every person has a different angle in the way they do things. But then you also see that certain group of people, Leos, for example, because I'm a Leo, have a certain way of doing things. That's why they say, hey, I'm a Leo, I do this, this, and that. Hey, I'm a Leo, I do this, this, and that. And we all know what it is. Okay, yeah, Leos like the attention. We kind of know that each one has some type of element, some type of character quality. Well, all those qualities are within us. So when we start to tap into that, and I could wait till the time is at a certain time so that I could tap into it more, or I could just tap into that part that's within me and go, okay, I need this quality of, name a quality, any of them.
It'd be like groundedness.
Okay, yes. So I need to feel grounded. I need to feel, so I'm going to go to a certain quality or aspect of me that has that, and I'm going to pull that out, as in use it to my advantage. It's just redirecting our mind and our focus to, you know what? I don't need something outwardly. I have it all within me. So let me reach out to that one thing that I need. And let me embody that, just like I can embody a Capricorn energy, the Capricorn energy of, you know what, I'm going to push towards my goals. I'm going to really be in my body. I'm going to do practical things that are going to better my body, to my physical being, etc. So how can I do that? Well, what are the qualities of Capricorn? Those are the qualities. So that's what I'm going to embody. I need to be a little bit more nurturing. I need to be more motherly, more emotional. Let me embody the Cancer qualities of Cancer, because that is the nurturing mother emotional sign. So we know what these characteristics are. Where do they come from? They're associated from a certain quality, which is a certain element. Water. Water is flowing, nurturing, emotional, right? We talk about our emotional waters, you know, are they still, are they rocky, turbulent, etc. The water is emotional. So if we start looking at these elements that we are solid, liquid, gas, plasma, we are all of these things. We are earth, water, air, fire. So if we can just tap into those aspects of who we are, okay, I'm going to tap into my passionate side and really feel what it is that I'm talking about, and really imagine and embody whatever it is that I'm talking about. Well, now I'm really tapping into that Leo fire energy.
Wow.
So it's associating.
Yeah. It's almost like giving yourself this deeper ability to become aware of what is happening within and shift that. Because I think a lot of the time we think, oh, well, I'm in this anxious state. If I want to have that groundedness, or maybe I want confidence, we often look everywhere outside of ourselves. But what you've really touched on is that we all have every one of these components from within, but how can we call that up and out to change our present experience? Interesting.
So it's just a lot of, like everything else, instead of looking outwardly, we look inwardly at what we already know. And all these things that are outward, they all come from stuff that we know inwardly. Like everything that's manifested is because we've created it from what we innately know. And we know everything.
Yeah.
It's just tapping into that creativity, into that void, which is basically a quantum state.
Yeah.
And if you're in that quantum state where you can pull anything and everything and even then some, why not these main qualities? And it also gives us permission to basically accept others for how they are. Because you know what? That is just their quality. That is who they are. And not to say that you blame, oh, well, I'm being this way because it's just my sign. No, all our signs have positive and negative aspects. So you can blame it all you want to, but you have the decision and the choice to either have that be a positive thing or a negative thing. Because like we were talking about Virgo earlier, yes, organized, that's one of the aspects. But if you're at a lower state of mind, if you're at a animal nature, you're not going to be organized. You're actually going to be a hypochondriac. You're going to be at a total opposite state of everything's good, everything's healthy. No, now you're in fear mode of things are going to make me sick. And so that's just an aspect. There's just levels to it. It's really understanding the qualities and the aspects of it.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. And something that came to mind for me there, as you were mentioning, like everything is this creation out of the void. This is actually one of the superpowers of people with anxiety, is that we're able to pull out all of these experiences along with the feelings that can come with these potentials. Yes. And create all of these ideas of what if, oh, but what if that happened?
Scenarios that can just go on and on. And I have a Gemini moon, so my thoughts are always going this way and that way and this way and that way. What about this? And what about that? And I'm looking at it from every angle. And next thing you know, I'm in a scenario where I'm like, wait, why am I thinking this right now? Stop it. So again, it's redirecting your focus, because we can go everywhere, and we're so multidimensional beings that we tend to, even though you want to label it ADHD or whatever you want to label it, we're trying to be multidimensional everywhere at once. And we are in this earth plane to basically be focused on one single moment in time so that we can perfect it and we can experience it and we can learn from it and we can end up evolving from that. You know, because it's just a repetition. I mean, what is a day? It's every day is a day. It's the same day over and over. It's a chance to give us another 24 hours. What are you going to do with it?
That's so interesting. Yeah, this is much broader and deeper than I think most people think about astrology. Most of what you see online is just, oh, you have this sign, so you have these qualities. Or, you know, horoscopes, which a lot of people don't believe in. So I think right. This is really powerful.
Yeah, it's different to listen to astrologers, which we all do. It's kind of like listening to priests. It's kind of like listening to, you know, gurus. All of it should be really avoided. Not really avoided, but the main thing to really take in is not to go outwardly for the information, but to understand the information enough that you can go inwardly and understand it.
Yeah. No, I like
that. It's not that it condemns, like it, because I know it says it condemns astrologers in the Bible, and a lot of people misinterpret that and think, oh, look, astrology is bad. No, it also condemns lawyers and judges, but you don't see, you know, people saying, you know, that they're bad. So it's the astrologer, as in don't look outwardly. Understand astrology so that you can look inwardly and understand it. That's why Job 38:32 says, do you understand the Maseroth, which Maseroth means the zodiac? Do you understand it enough to know how things influence you? You know, so it's in there and it's hidden and it's, you know, things you got to decode, but there's a reason for it. Because once you start opening up and understanding this, then you understand yourself better. And that's why you're able to go in and discern, okay, I need this quality right now. I really need confidence right now. So I'm going to really embody that Leo energy and bring my confidence that I know that's in me.
Yeah. So in this way, it's really a way of regaining or activating your own inner agency and power, as opposed to what a lot of us, I think, do, especially if you're first dabbling in astrology, which is, well, what's my horoscope for this month? Or what, you know, season am I in? And how is that just going to impact me, instead of how can I actually use these energies and call on these energies myself?
Right.
Okay, interesting. So obviously this has gotten really deep really quickly, but for our listeners who are maybe newer to astrology, but they want to use some of this to help them manage their anxiety, maybe help them achieve their ambitions, what advice would you give to someone as to where to dive in to start with this?
Ooh, where to start? I mean, I do have an astrology course in the academy. It's only $99 and it has 12 sessions plus, I think, another 12 practice sessions, I believe. I'm not sure. Mixed in there with some astrotheology for those that are interested. And so that's one way. But really, oh, it's so difficult. It's because there's so much out there, you know, and you can go down so many different rabbit holes, but just get started somewhere. You know, it's just somewhere trying to understand it wherever your soul takes you, because sometimes it's not your time. Sometimes you're not ready for it. But if you are and you feel called to, go to whatever gravitates you that has to do with astrology and just kind of discern. Just, I always say, meditate, discern for yourself, take what resonates, leave the rest behind. But we do have a lot of information in astrology in the academy.
That's awesome. No, I love that you've created that resource. And I think that that's a great point to just go where your heart calls you, because oftentimes we are intuitively guided to the thing that is going to be best for us, even if we're not really consciously aware of it.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, this has really been a look at how can we use astrology to increase our introspection, to look at life in a different way, look at ourselves in a different way, which is something that you really walk us on in this journey through the series of your books. And I know many people out there, they're not really looking at life in this way that you do, never mind, you know, going to this extent of introspection. Even just a simple question, which you mentioned in your book, actually, which is, who are you, or who are you, like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland? Usually we meet this with a basic answer and we just say, you know, maybe what our job is, what our title is. I'm a mom, I'm a sister, I'm a this, I'm a that. And for many of us, it takes hitting like a rock bottom moment to truly shine that mirror back on ourselves and look at ourselves in this deep way. So for you, what led you into going down this rabbit hole of discovering who you are, into metaphysics, deciding to be a metaphysical counselor, minister, all that?
I've always been into trying to understand everything. I've always asked many questions about everything. I just want to know things. And when I didn't really quite understand how connections were being made as far as numbers popping up and you know, repeating numbers, angel numbers, whatever you want to call it. And I started kind of thinking things, and then I would feel and see a response kind of through the weather. Like the breeze would answer back, or I would just see signs that were answering me, and I didn't understand that, and I needed to understand it. So the left brain part of me was like, okay, what's the science behind it? The right side is like, okay, how is this connected spiritually? I've always tried to blend the two, which is really what it is. Like quantum physics is really close, but it's quite not there yet, as far as understanding how closely related science and spirituality really is. So I went down the path of becoming, you know, doctor of philosophy, with all the metaphysical stuff attached to it, so that I could better understand life. And then throughout that process, I learned a lot. I learned so much about astrology and how much that connects us to everything. So imagine just this ball of light that is just all, it's ether, it's just everything that is, and then breaking up into little specks of the same light, and then those specks going into bodies. And then here we all are, all of us from this one source, that we have this connection because we were all connected. It's just kind of broke off into little sparks. And then now we're just experiencing life in different angles and different points of views and in different, let's just call them signs, where we can embody one element more than the other. And at the end of the day, I look at that one light source, that oneness, right? And I look at all the people that we have on earth. There's so many, and we have so many differences. But at the end of the day, they were all born under a certain sign. So really, there's just 12 differences. And then at the end of the day, those signs, those 12 signs, are all aspects of four qualities or four elements. So really, we're all just, you know, we're either fire signs. Okay, cool. I resonate with you. Or, you know, air signs. Okay, cool. You know, we resonate like this, et cetera. And then at the end of that, all those elements are either male qualities or female qualities. And we all have a male and female quality within us. So you look at that, 12 became four, four became two. And now that two of the male and female is really just that one light again with its shadow that you bring together, and you have this like balance of everything. And to me, that's breathing. You know, you have this light, it breathes, it expands, and it becomes the 12, and then it contracts and it becomes the four, the two, the one, and then you have that union again. So I don't know. I feel like this is everything. It stems from everything and it becomes everything and it goes back to everything, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I love that vision that you created there of the breath, of this breathing out from one all the way up to the 12 and back in. And that just reflects this state of constant contraction and expansion that we're all in, that we can feel on some level. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Balance is key, man. Work hard, play hard. That's for anxious and ambitious people. I mean, we're ambitious because we want to work hard. But you know what? We got to play hard too, to kind of release some of that anxiety that is trapped. It's like, look, go out and play, go be free, break free from the anxiety.
Yeah, that's great advice. Break free, play. I think this is something that we don't do enough in our hustle and grind world. Now, this has been a great conversation. To wrap it up here, where can our people go to connect with you and learn more about you?
You can go to joannacrowder.com. That's joannacrowder.com. And I pretty much have all the platforms listed. My YouTube channel's there, my Instagram, the Academy, the retreats, my services, all of it. So that would be the easiest way.
Okay, perfect. I'll be sure to link that up in the show notes so you all can just scroll down, click through, and connect with Joanna further. And what is, you know, one final thought, or if there's anything that we haven't covered that's coming to your mind that you'd like to share with our listeners before we close out?
Yeah. So my husband and I have been doing Real Talk with Casey and JoJo. It's a podcast on YouTube. And we did many seasons, different ones. I think Summer Love, we talked about each chapter in season two. It was like, we talked about it first in the podcast, then I wrote about it. So you get a different perspective of just his first, whoa, what? Did you write that? You really did just write that? So things like that. So that was fun. But we just launched season five, and we're kind of taking questions and comments and turning them into our podcast. As in our last one, they had a question about emotional support and things like that. So our second episode was about emotional support. So yeah, if you have questions or you want to be part of it, feel free to check us out, Real Talk with Casey and JoJo. And that's in my YouTube channel, which you can get on my website.
Awesome. Yes. Real Talk with Casey and JoJo. I think it's also available on all podcasting platforms as well.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Awesome. So go and check that out. Give them a listen. I've actually been on the podcast as well. So if you're curious, go and check that episode out. Yeah. But as always, Joanna, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for sharing so much wisdom with us. And to our listeners, thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, a family member, someone who can benefit from this conversation so you can be part of that ripple effect. And we'll see you next time for another episode of Anxious and Ambitious.